Welcome, everybody, inside on this gorgeous Wednesday evening. I'm joined in studio with my lovely partner, Rocker.
He's not lovely.
What? Lovely, Jack.
Look at him, for God's sake.
That's why I said he's not lovely. He's a nice guy. He's not pretty.
Even I wouldn't call myself lovely.
Well, although the guy on your shirt would probably call you lovely.
Yeah, well.
So what's his name? The painter.
Good old Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
He's got a Bob Ross in his shirt. And I'm also joined in studio with two representatives. Not just the representatives. They are the Fort Recovery Music Department up at the schools. Tracy Evers West Curtis. And Reed Canute. So welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So I tell you what, we are here to talk about a number of things. You know, it's incredible to me as I look at Facebook, the number of activities and updates that we get from the music department. And there's no doubt that there's energy, not just at the high school, but at the junior high level, I'm sure probably at the elementary level too, of what's happening with our music programs. So, we're going to talk about that. First, let's have a getting to know you type thing, and we'll start with the Reed. Okay. So, Reed, how long have you been at Fort Recovery?
This is my fourth year.
And you graduated from
Anderson High School in Cincinnati, and then I went to Ohio State.
So how did somebody from Cincinnati, you go to school in Columbus, you end up in Fort Recovery?
I actually knew the previous band director here. And so when he found out he was going to be leaving, he let me know. And so I applied, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
So it's been 4 years. This
is the fourth year.
This is the fourth year. You like it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it. I wouldn't stay if I didn't like it. So
when you compare Fort Recovery, because Anderson High School in Cincinnati is a pretty big school, right?
Yeah, Anderson had about 1,500 kids in it. Okay. So,
what's the main difference?
Everybody knows everybody else much better in Fort Recovery. I couldn't even tell you half the names of the kids I graduated with. I may not even recognize some of the people I graduated with. So I think that's probably the biggest difference. It's just that you have closer relationships with everybody.
So is that good or bad? Some people like to kind of be anonymous and kind of hide in the shadows, just be another person roaming around, and other people like to know what's going on.
I'd say it has its pluses and its minuses. It's a lot easier to hide in a giant school. Everybody knew me because I was the tall kid, but it can definitely, it's nice to know who you're talking to, but it's also everybody knows everything.
So, and then Tracy, you're a very familiar face with a very familiar background here. So, why don't you share about your background with the Fort?
Okay. So this is my 18th year at Fort Recovery, but I've been in education for 21 years.
Where'd you start out?
Covington High School.
Really?
Down by Piqua. Yeah, I was band and choir director there for 3 years. And then I took a year off to get my administrative degree, and then started here at Fort Recovery. And in 2011, I became the elementary principal. And then after some long thinking and what I need to do for my family, I decided to go back to the classroom, and I'm just having a blast this year. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. And, what a great opportunity to, leave and to grow in the principalship job, but then to come back to your passion, I mean, you will probably have a totally different
outlook.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That is cool. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break and come back and talk a little less about you guys and a little bit more about your students and stuff right after this.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 60-cent wings, traditional or boneless, and draft beers for only a buck. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut, grilled, or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of two sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, we know we would not be where we are today without the hard work and dedication from our team members for the last 80 years. That's why we partnered with Activate Healthcare and made their health and well-being our top priority. All team members enrolled in the Cooper Farms Health Insurance Plan have access to our three Activate Health Center locations. There are no co-pays, free lab work, and many prescriptions are free. To take advantage of this, as well as other great benefits, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
Blue Jacket Bonanza raffle tickets for the 2020 Win on a Wabash Super Raffle are on sale now at only $50 each. Each ticket gets you a chance to win a 2020 Dodge Challenger Hemi or one of 105 other cash prizes, including a grand prize of $75,000 cash. Each ticket also gets you one entry wristband into the event of the year, the WOW Raffle, to be held on August 28th and 29th at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery. A full list of details on the event and raffle, as well as a list of businesses selling Blue Jacket raffle tickets, can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Raffle tickets can also be purchased directly through our website. Only 4,000 tickets are being sold for the Blue Jacket Bonanza Raffle, and with a limited number of those tickets remaining, be sure to get yours before they're gone.
What was that intro? What was that song?
That was from Blackjack Billy. That was about the WOW thing coming up. Blackjack Billy is going to be the entertainment. And that song was Get Some by Blackjack Billy. And he's going to be the headliner.
Usually, I'm very good at this music and knowing who sings it and stuff.
Yeah, so like, really like what we were talking about before.
Yeah, so it really surprised me that I wasn't.
I do know that you know a lot from the mid-70s on back.
On back.
Yes.
God,
and that's where I am.
Old.
Well, that's where I am.
Do you realize we're closer to the year 2055 than we are the year I graduated?
Okay.
That's a long time, Neil.
Okay. What year was that, Jack?
1974.
That's the year I was born.
Oh, shut up. All right. So we're back with...
I was 88.
Reed.
Huh? I was 88 years old in 1974.
That's about right. So, okay. So let's start with the band, okay? Okay, so as the Fort Recovery band director, you cover what?
Well, we do marching band, play football games. We have competitions also. And then concert band, all the indoor band that we have throughout the whole year. And then I also teach some elementary school music. We're hoping to be bringing back a jazz band. I've been talking with some students about maybe starting that, like, in the spring. So,
cool. So, okay, so all total, in an average week, how many kids do you touch?
He's not allowed to touch the kids.
How many kids do you have contact with?
I don't know. In total, maybe 200 or so.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, not all of them. A lot of them are like, I teach second grade and fourth grade.
Yeah.
So I get all of those kids. But yeah, we got like 40 kids in the high school band. 33 in 7th and 8th grade band, and then 22 in 6th grade, then like 20 in 5th grade, so.
Fantastic. And then, so, there was just recently, and this is for both of you, like, like was it a district band and chorus that was up at Lima?
The OMEA Honors Festival.
Okay, which is what?
So the Ohio Music Education Association's been, it's the whole state of Ohio, all grades, all teachers, and college, but they split into regions. So we're in Region 3, which covers, we're actually about as far south as you can go. It's Dark County, you get it into a different region. But we go from here all the way up to, like, Ottawa, Glandorf, past Lima, that whole, like, region. All the way over, yeah, to Wapakoneta and beyond.
So probably 6, 8, 10 counties, something like that, probably.
Something like that. It's the biggest, geographically the biggest region.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And so then they take kids that are nominated by you guys?
For middle school, we nominate, and then they select from our nominations. For high school, anybody can audition, but you have to go play for a judge, and they take the top students in the region to play. Okay. So,
and like we had some representatives in both the choir and the band, right?
Yep.
So, Tracy, I'll let you kind of share who those were.
So I had one student audition, Isaac Lefevre, and he was accepted. And then we had two band students that auditioned as well. Kayla Beavers on clarinet and Dylan Langenkamp on percussion. And all three young men made the ensembles.
Awesome. Yeah.
So hey, Caleb's a pretty good kid.
Well, I like to think so. I might be a little bit biased.
I'd say, so then both of those groups then hold a new concert?
Yes. So it was this past Sunday. And they also have like a jazz band that kids can try out for too. We didn't have any students that auditioned for that, but... So the jazz band plays, and then the choir sang, and then the band performed as well. So all in all, it was about an hour and a half performance at the Nieswanger in Van Wert.
Yeah. What a gorgeous place.
Yeah, it is.
That place is
beautiful.
Just amazing. For you, being in Van Wert, I mean, the quality of that place.
And I think the kids, they're just so honored to have that experience and to work with those special directors that come in and help prepare them and the guest conductors that come in.
But it just gives you a different feel of professionalism and kind of hitting the big time to a certain extent.
Right.
Yeah. So, when we talk about the choral department, okay, talk a little bit about what all is included in that.
Okay. So I have about 50 kids in the junior high and high school choirs combined. So I have them. New this year, it's an old new group. When I was choir director before, I had a group called By Request. Yep. It's kind of an audition group of small ladies that we meet like once a week for about an hour just to rehearse some songs. And then when people need
a little bit of entertainment
for a party, like typically Christmas parties, that's the group that goes out. So we kind of started that back up this year. Right now we're kind of taking a little break with getting ready for the upcoming musical. But that's the group. So it's about like 8-9 girls in that group. So that's new this year. And then just like Reed, I also teach a lot of elementary students. So I have kindergarten, first grade, third grade, some fifth grade, and some sixth grade.
Oh my. So when you say some fifth grade and some sixth, so they have an option of either music or art? Or?
So in fifth grade, the kids that are in band have Reed.
Oh, okay.
And then the kids that are not in band have me. In sixth grade, it's an elective.
Gotcha. Okay. So, so how many kids do you come in contact with on a weekly basis?
I would say somewhere around 325, 350.
Wow.
Because like Reed, like he has second and fourth grade, so he sees all those classes.
Yeah.
I see all the kindergarten, first, and third grade. And then probably about 60% of the fifth graders.
Yeah. So what do you... Okay, so I'm picturing myself in kindergarten in music class. Okay. What does that consist of?
Well, they learn a lot about opposites. So they learn about the difference between like loud and soft, short, long sounds, fast, slow, etc. Right now, I'm introducing them the story of Peter and the Wolf. So it's like introducing the instruments of the orchestra. So they're starting to listen and identify to different sounds.
Okay. So from an instrument standpoint, okay, Reed, how many instruments you play?
Are we talking well or in theory? The ones I play really well are the piano and the French horn. I'm learning the bagpipes. That is a venture I'm running on right now.
I like it.
And then
who's teaching you that? Is that like a YouTube?
Well, I was in Scotland. Is last summer? No, not this past. It was 2 summers ago. And the taxi driver I had on the Isle of Skye just said, yeah, anyone can learn. And he gave me like this card of this girl that does Skype lessons. So I'm not taking lessons from her, but I was in contact with her and she hooked me up with like the right book. I'm kind of teaching myself. So
is it hard?
Actually, it's not as bad as I thought. The breathing's way different than all the band instruments, but.
So
those are the ones I play, well, bagpipes I don't play well yet.
Yeah.
But those are the one, like my main instruments. I can play all of the band instruments and all the orchestra instruments.
So you know, when you say I can play them, does that mean that you can blow into them and a sound comes out, or
all but the flute?
If you had
he knows the fingerings.
Yeah, like I can teach all of them. I can play them at least well enough to like teach them.
Yeah.
The flute, I just go off fingerings, and I that's the one I just can't get a sound on it. I've been working at it now for like 6 years, and it just hasn't happened.
That's funny.
But yeah, so some I'm better at than others. The brass instruments, I've performed on all of them before, but I wouldn't like audition for an orchestra on like the tuba or anything. So
next Wednesday, I shouldn't pencil you in for a bagpipe concert up here on UFR radio yet.
No, okay. I still don't even own bagpipes. I own the little chanter that you practice on. So I'm saving up for
what is a chanter?
It's like the part that when you're playing, you have your fingers on it to change notes.
Yep.
When you're learning, you just practice on that, and you have the reed. It sounds like a bagpipe. It's just a lot quieter. So,
So what does a bagpipe go for?
About $1,200.
No kidding. That ain't bad. Hell, I'd buy a bagpipe.
Well, why don't you buy one for him?
You and Bill could have a, troop.
There you go.
Yeah, we could do a fireman's parade.
You could play the bagpipes and Bill could sing Edelweiss.
There you go. That'll be beautiful.
No, it won't. So, but that might be something, a goal to go for next Christmas, for the Christmas show.
So, Tracy, what about you? What do you play?
Well, actually, I was a trumpet major when I went to college.
I was thinking that you were.
But I have that wide variety background. I was in Karen Myring's choirs in school. I did a cappella choir in college. Did some different choir activities in college, too, just to kind of give me that well-rounded. I also play piano, not as well as Reed. Yeah. He's very good. I think you were a piano major, weren't you?
No, I almost
he is very good.
I decided to do horn instead.
And then, I could play the kazoo.
I'm not sure very well. Yeah, right?
I am really good at it. I am really good at it.
And I used to play the organ up at church.
Okay. So and I'll ask each of you this. Who was most influential in putting you in the career path that you ended up on?
Oh, I have two.
Okay.
Ted Shuttleworth and Karen Myring. That was easy.
Yeah, that was easy. Reed?
Well, I sort of have two also for different reasons. One was my high school orchestra teacher, Chris Torbush. He's like a financial advisor now. He got out of the teaching business, but he was amazing. And if you're listening, Mr. Torbush, thank you. The other was Richard Wesp. He was my high school choir teacher. He taught at my high school for 57 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Some of the kids in my choir with me had, like, he had taught their parents in, like, the middle of his teaching career. But he unfortunately, he passed away, like, within a year or two of retiring. But, yeah, the two of them, I'd say.
That is awesome. That's awesome. So, I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about an upcoming event that I think the two of you are working on that might take a couple hours out of your week each week, I'm sure. So, we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Friday at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274. Here are the basketball games coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. It's Coldwater Week, and tomorrow, the Lady Indians will host the Cavaliers in another MAC matchup, and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of that game. On Friday, the boys will travel to Coldwater to take on the Cavaliers, and Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team of Brian Patch and Bob Leverett will bring you the play-by-play. Get out to the games this week to cheer on our Indians teams as they take on Coldwater, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Rocker Bonville. I've got Tracy and Reed here from the Fort Recovery Music Department. So, you have a special event coming up. So, why don't you tell us about who, what, when, where?
We're doing a Lucky Stiff. It's an off-Broadway musical. It's going to be at the elementary middle school auditoria on Sunday the 9th of February, and we have two shows that day. There's one at 2 o'clock and one at 6 o'clock. So the show itself, Lucky Stiff, it's sort of like, the easiest way to describe it would be like Weekend at Bernie's the musical. Okay. If you've seen that movie.
Oh lord.
So the premise is there's an Englishman who finds out that he has this uncle he didn't know he had, who managed a casino in New Jersey, and he inherits $6 million from this uncle after the uncle's crazy girlfriend kills the uncle. But the condition for getting the $6 million is he has to cart the uncle's body around Europe and take him sightseeing, snorkeling, skydiving. And what he doesn't realize is that the $6 million was stolen, and the crazy girlfriend and her like nervous brother, who's an eye doctor, are both chasing him around Europe and the body trying to get the money. So It's pretty funny. It's good.
Cool. So the cast, and not talking about any specific, but is made up of all high schoolers or, you know, different ages?
It's actually some high school and junior high students as well. Yeah.
So where do you know, and I've always wondered, where do you come up with a play or a musical like this? Where do you find it?
Well, you kind of have to look at the kids that you have in the program. So we're kind of doing the drama department together. But most of the kids that are in the drama department are either in band and or choir, too.
Okay.
So we share some of the kids. There's just maybe a couple kids that we can count that we don't have, that we don't see during the day. So I would say probably 98% of them are in one of our groups.
So from a band standpoint, is there an orchestra that's involved with this? Okay, no.
We're actually doing, so the companies that you rent the musicals from are actually coming out with like production packs. It's already pre-recorded music. And so there's just cues that we have to play at certain times. So I'll be doing that part. Reed's actually going to direct like the kids, like if they forget a line or help with their entrances and so forth. So
have you ever done anything like this, Reed?
Actually, when I was in high school, I played in the pit orchestras for some. But in terms of directing, I've been involved with the Jay County Civic Theater the last few productions. So that's most of that. I didn't sit in the front and conduct. This is the first time I've done that. But in terms of preparing it and like doing the music and stuff, that was a few of them. So
how do you start? So you've got these kids who, I mean, I know some have some experience at this stuff, but the bulk of them are completely clueless to a certain degree. Where do you start?
Well, you have, especially with a musical, you need to look at who are your really strong musicians who can handle some of the parts. You have to kind of look at the ranges, who can devote the time to it. I know, I think, you know, we're a small school. We always have to share kids.
Sure.
It's always, you know, kind of been that issue. But I even kind of felt this year more so when I did it in the past, the kids are involved in a lot. Like, we're working. We have kids that are in swim and basketball, bowling, cheerleading. So we're working with a lot of different schedules. I don't think that we've actually had a rehearsal where we've had every single kid there. And we probably won't have every single kid there until maybe dress rehearsal or the actual performance itself.
Wow.
So
I'm guessing that the kids' first job is to go and memorize their lines.
They do. So we started off this fall, we just did just rehearsals where we would read through lines and kind of discuss like what the character should be doing. Rehearsed a lot of music. We're still rehearsing music. You know, there's things that still need cleaned up yet. But just, you know, rehearsing those things. And then we get into like blocking, and that is where, you know, where do the kids enter and exit on the stage? Where do they stand on stage? Yeah. What are they doing at that time? And teaching the kids how to react, what's going on in the storyline, so that, you know, it keeps moving. There aren't any like dead spots, etc.
Yeah. So I'm assuming since you went into the principal job, this is your first time doing this in a while?
When I did three musicals at Covington, and then here I did Snoopy, Cinderella, Nutcrackers, Wizard of Oz, and then my last one was actually my first year that I was principal. We did Seussical, and I did that. I co-directed that with Karen Myring.
Oh.
So that was the last one that I did. That was back in 2011, so that's 8 years ago.
So now let's talk about some of the key people that are in this. Okay. Not that anybody's a star, but there's some people that have a lot more to say than what others do. So, you know, could you share who you know, some of those are?
Yeah. So, we actually have a lot of kids. We have close to 20 kids. And then plus some chorus members, people helping with stage hands and sound and lights, etc. But the main characters, so Isaac Lefevre is our Harry Witherspoon. He's kind of that main character. He's the nephew that inherits the $6 million. The girl from the Universal Dog Home of Brooklyn is played by Allie Kaiser. Her name is Annabelle Glick.
I didn't mention her. To
yeah.
The love interest.
Yes, there's a love interest there. So, and then the crazy girlfriend who shot the uncle. Her name is Rita Laporta, and that's played by Caitlin Weigel. And she has a very funny character. People are going to laugh when they see her on stage. The nervous brother, eye doctor, is Caden Marshall. He is a seventh grader.
Oh, no
kidding. And he's got one of the lead roles. He is doing an awesome job. He plays Vinny DiRuzio. Seth Follenkamp plays, his name is Luigi Gialdi. How you say
Gowdy.
So you see him throughout the musical, but I'm not going to give away the ending to that. You have to kind of figure that part out. So the uncle is the dead body on stage. He's in a wheelchair the entire time. That's Tony Hendon, and that's played by Caleb Evers.
So now you know what? That's a role that I could probably play.
You're a little bulkier than Caleb, and it'd be harder to push you around.
That's true.
So yes, we need another guy, and Caleb is really involved in basketball. Yeah. So this has no lines.
And there, he can keep a straight face.
Yeah. And he can keep a straight face. He can be very serious. So there's going to be laughter during the musical, and I think he'll do a good job with that. And then our last lead role is Morgan Littmer. She plays Dominique DeMonico. She's
like a club singer.
A club singer, okay. Thank you. She's a club singer, and kind of you see her throughout the musical in different parts as well. So
cool. The music in it, is it kind of jazz based? Is it, you know, what's the
I think there's a variety.
Yeah.
There's like some tango in there. Yeah. And some of it's like Frank Sinatra-esque. It covers the whole board. Yeah.
That's awesome. So how do you get tickets?
You're probably better to talk. Yeah.
So tickets will be available at the door, $9 for adults and $6 for students K through 12. But we're doing kind of like what they do for pre-sale basketball. They can get them ahead of time. We're not doing reserve seating. Just come and select your seats. But you can purchase them for $8 adults and $5 for students K through 12.
And that'll be where? At the the elementary, middle school offices and high school office? Or
yes. Yeah, they can do that. Or they can, if they know a student that's in one of the choirs or the drama department, or they can email one of us and we can get tickets for them.
So figure an hour and a half show?
I would figure two with intermission.
With the intermission?
Yeah.
Very good. So from your vantage, as far as you working together on a project like this, what has been some of the biggest challenges? You know, when you're looking at the size of this project, what's been some of the challenges?
I would say one of the big ones is the scheduling, like I talked about earlier. It's hard because I think kids are just so busy and they're so involved, and they should be, but that's been definitely probably one of the biggest challenges that we've had. I think another one, you know, we just have just those few handful of kids that we can only work with during our when we have drama rehearsals.
Which is when? Do you practice twice a week?
No, we've been practicing, it's been about four times a week, but because of the schedule, so not every kid is there. So we try to get every kid there at least three times a week if we can. So.
And then you have to kind of flex when you have those practices to fit kids'
yeah,
schedules?
Yeah, it's for the most part, it's been working out after school pretty good, but our Tuesday nights have generally been in the evening. So.
And then the behind the scenes part with the mm-hmm. with the stage and the props and everything. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of kids involved in that mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, so I had a couple really good kids from the art department kind of design. We have a Monte Carlo scene that kind of spans the background. So we just actually finished painting that this last weekend, and then we're going to get that put up pretty soon. But the rest of it, we've used some from sets from some previous musicals that have, we have some different scenes that require kids going in and out of doors and so forth. So we've got some different sets.
So you do have some sort of generic props that'll work for a lot of different things, and but other things have to be specific.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Like a house. Yeah. It's not a big deal. But right. when you're doing the lounge singer, cabaret singer, whatever it is, and yeah. The casino, those
we actually use for some of that, like the club scene. Like we just closed the middle curtains and put a few tables in front of it, and and then the singer walks out of the middle of the curtains. It looks looks like a club. You know, we have a train scene. We can't put a train on stage, so we just close the front curtains and put a couple student desks with some chairs, and it kind of looks like a dining car, and cool. So we kind of make that work.
So has there been any, you know, I know in the past, you know, and I'm going past, you know, like there was always that you know, buckshot maze or that, you know, that community person that would always, you know, show up to help. Mm-hmm. So is there anybody like that in the community now that you know, thank God they're there to help you out?
Well, we are... Booster president is Steve Merrill, so he's kind of been helping us out with getting us some mics. But actually, we have a really good set of students that are helping with this. Chase Kaiser is a freshman, and he is kind of like Charlie Rohr back in the day.
That's
he's
good.
Really kind of picked that up. And then my son, Alex Evers, is kind of starting to get into all that technology, and so he and Chase have been kind of helping out with my choir concerts, and so they're going to be doing this. Austin Hartnagel, I'm going to say, is he seventh grade? I think he's in
eighth grade.
He's doing the lights, so basically, like, I program the lights, and he just has to follow in the script and just push the button when it's time for the next light cue. Yep. Then we have a couple kids on spotlights that will help out with that.
Robin with the costumes.
Oh, yes. I want to give out a shout out to Mrs. Armstrong. So Mrs. Armstrong always helped me in the past with costumes. And so she's come in a couple rehearsals, and we've gotten all of the kids fitted for costumes and things that we maybe don't have. She's got some people that she knows from other schools that she can kind of tap into or make. She's a very good seamstress. So shout out to Mrs. Armstrong, because she really took a lot off of our plates with that.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and retouch on this to make sure that everybody knows you know, when and how to get tickets and such. And then we're going to challenge you guys to stump the rocker. So we'll be back right after this.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel with Fort Recovery Insurance. For years now, you've heard that Fort Recovery Insurance Agency has something for everyone, and if you need insurance, we do. When you choose Fort Recovery Insurance, we take you inside our fort to find the best plan to protect your home, business, farm, auto, and family from the risks you'll face in today's world. When it's time for a new insurance plan, don't depend on just anyone. Depend on Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4848.
Hi,
this is Jill Evers from Wayne Street Market, and we have some great specials to save you money now through Thursday, January the 23rd. Be sure to check out our ad in the Commercial Review and the Daily Standard on Friday for our big sale on your favorite items all through the store. We have some very special deals for you in our meat department. Check out our boneless ribeye steaks for $6.99 a pound. 80% lean brown chuck is $3.69 a pound, and our boneless skinless chicken breast is $2.49 a pound. In our deli, we have delicious Cooper Farms honey roasted smoked turkey breast sliced to order for $5.99 a pound. And don't forget Tenderloin Tuesdays with everybody's favorite, our giant tenderloin sandwich for $4.50. Or to make it a meal, you can choose two of our many sides for $1.50 more. On Wednesday, grab a bucket of our famous roasted chicken. Get the 12-piece bucket for $13.99, 16-piece for $16.99, and an 18-piece for $19.99. Check out all the bargains in our full ad in Friday's Commercial Review and the Daily Standard, or grab a flyer when you come into Wayne Street Market, where you can always count on great prices and great selection.
There's going to be a ladies' night benefit for Everly Mullenkamp on January 25th at Romer's Catering in St. Henry. Everly is a newborn from Fort Recovery who was born with an incurable fragile skin condition requiring frequent wound care. Tickets are just $25 each and include a grand buffet, a quarter auction, entertainment, and lots more fun. There are no basketball games that day, so get your gang together and head over to Romer's in St. Henry for a great ladies' night benefit for Everly Mullenkamp on Saturday evening, January 25th, with the doors opening at 5 o'clock. The tickets can be purchased from Leslie Mullenkamp or from Romer's at romerscatering.com. A quarter auction, entertainment, lots of fun, plus the grand buffet, what's not to love? And the money goes to a great cause, benefiting the family of Everly Mullenkamp, a local infant with a rare skin disease. Get your tickets now from Leslie Mullenkamp or at romerscatering.com and get in on all the fun Saturday, January 25th. Doors open at 5.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Rocker Bonville, and Tracy Evers, Wes Curtis, and Reed Canute. And so we've talked about the upcoming musical. And before we kind of wrap that part up, we talked earlier about how has being a music educator changed? And Reed, so, you know, why don't you share? I mean, even since the time that you were in high school until now, you're only looking at 10 or 11 years. What has changed?
I think the biggest thing is just the access to technology that we have now that we didn't have when I was growing up. When it's time for the kids to tune their instruments or to get a pitch if they're singing without a piano, they just open the app on their phone and press a button and there it is. I can record the band and then play it back and have the kids watch themselves or listen to themselves. I never got to do that when I was growing up. We don't use cassettes anymore. So I think the technology is probably the biggest thing. I know back from when I started to where I am now, I think the overall, and kids were pretty involved when I was growing up, but I think now, from now to then, even like kids are just involved in way more. So you're doing more with scheduling and that sort of thing than there was when I was growing up. So.
Well, you know what? I think there's more options for kids too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we didn't have a swim team and a bowling team and, you know, things like that even 5 or 6 years ago, probably. So, Tracy, what about you?
I think I would have to agree with Reed. The scheduling has been one of the biggest, I think, challenges for me, especially with the musical that we're working on. So
it's like you look at you as a student and. What was a musical that you were in when you were in high school?
I did Funky Winker Bean's Homecoming. I think I was a stage manager for that one. And then I was in Pirates of Penzance.
I was too.
I played Edith.
Really?
Yes.
How cool. I even remember my line. I had one line.
That's way too many.
Well, I screwed it up.
I don't doubt that. We had a lot of community members because we needed more guys.
It was fun.
Jack, you didn't play Edith, did you?
What?
You didn't play Edith, did you?
No.
So what was your line? She's still going to mess it up. Yep. No. Yes, I'm ready.
We better pause or danger will befall. I screwed it up.
Again,
It's got something to do with Major General. Because they said that about 9,000 times in that musical. So, but
that was touching, Jack.
Yeah, thank you. So, now I lost my complete line. Oh, okay. So when you look at you being in that musical versus now, what's some of the differences other than the scheduling?
For some reason, maybe it was just because I was a kid, but I remember being at rehearsals a lot more. but we had some really late rehearsals, especially like Tech Week. I remember going really late with those. We tried not to keep the kids past like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that's probably one big difference.
Well, and Karen Myring.
Is this Stickler?
Was motivated. Yeah.
She was very, she is very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
cool. She's even helping out several of these students that have these lead roles. She's been helping them in their lessons as well. So
that's incredible.
Awesome.
She continues, X number of years after she's retired to play a major role in the music part of it. That's cool. So let's touch one more time on when and how do you get tickets, and then we'll stump the rocker with you guys.
All right.
Okay.
So the performance is on Sunday, February 9th. Show times are at 2 o'clock and 6 p.m. Pre-sale tickets are available from any drama or choir student, or you can call the high school or middle school office or email Mr. Knuth or myself. Pre-sale tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students K through 12, or you can purchase them at the door, $9 adult and $6 for students.
And I tell you what, just from a past history, these things are always fun. They're always well done, and they're always very well attended too.
So we
wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, where you're really going to need luck is to stump the rocker. Okay. So the topic is dates when famous musicians died. Okay. So you can grab a pen, and the two of you can kind of collaborate, okay?
Or you can do it separately if you want.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to name an artist, and you give me the year, and if you want to put a month, you can. That'll be the tiebreaker, okay? When these musicians died, okay? We're going to start with an easy one. John Lennon. He was one of the Beatles.
I don't know. I have no idea. Sure.
Okay.
I know he was shot.
Yep.
We visit where he was shot in New York. Yes, we're going to New York City next year.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
And let's see, now isn't it like a Lennon Park where he actually...
Yeah, it's in Central Park. Yeah, right across from where he lived.
Okay, number two, Janis Joplin.
Well, I know how old she was. She's 27, like almost all the other...
All the other ones.
Yep. Yeah. I think Mama Cass and Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain. I think they're all 27. But that doesn't give anybody any hints. Unless Rocker happens to know what her birthday is and when she was born. Which he might.
Okay.
And you're not allowed to write who was Janis Joplin.
All right.
Not Jeopardy.
Number three. This is one I'm counting on you guys getting. Okay. And Rocker not having a clue. John Philip Sousa.
I was going to guess that you, when you said, here's one that, that Reed will know, I was going to guess that one.
Well, I should know.
Well, I have a reasonable guess just by knowing what era he was.
A reasonable guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Plus or minus 50 years.
Plus or minus
50. I can get within 50 years, I promise you that.
Okay. Karen Carpenter. See, Reed is pretty young for this stuff. So's Tracy, too.
Yeah.
My late husband liked the Carpenters, though. He did.
I don't think I've ever heard of her.
What?
I don't think I've ever heard of Karen Carpenter.
Richard and Karen Carpenter.
We've only just begun
to live.
White lace and promises.
A kiss for luck, Miro. Okay. All right. Pat Boone.
He's still with us.
Huh?
He's still with us.
What?
Pat's still with us.
Pat's still with us?
The sixth sense.
Pat isn't dead yet?
No.
Did you have a date that you had written down, Jack?
That's a trick question. I was hoping a rocker wouldn't know that. How in the hell do you know that Pat Boone's still alive?
He's selling bathtubs for crying out loud.
He's selling bathtubs. All right. Maybe Pat's still with us.
So that was a gimme for you guys.
All right. This is the last one.
That was nine. I already asked him nine.
I was only five.
Okay.
This is the last one.
Seems like
Glenn Miller.
Oh. If it helps, he was killed over the English Channel. Probably. They have never found him.
All right. You know, I have a feeling this is the week Rocker goes down.
I want better answer on that, Skippy. Huh?
You feel pretty confident?
I'm not going to miss one. That's about
it.
I think
Rocker might have stumped the music teachers.
All right.
Well, he's beat everybody else, too. So
who was the first one I said? John Lennon died when, Tracy?
1981?
Rocker?
They're coming up with the same, same 13.
December 8th, 1980.
Ooh, that's almost 1981.
December 8th, 1980.
At 10:30.
All right.
My gosh. Okay.
All right, I'll give you that one.
You guys were really close. 1981, okay. You're within 23 days. So that's...
Who was the second one? Janis Joplin, yeah, I think. Yep. Okay.
1970,
Rocker?
He's right. I just didn't have the date. Actual date.
Did you have the actual date?
No.
Oh. The actual date was October 4th. My wife's birthday, if you want to send her a card.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three was who?
Your
John Sousa. Philip Sousa.
Oh, yes. John Philip Sousa.
Might have a song.
I'm going to let the...
Okay.
You know, the actual music people...
National March.
Yes.
1932. Rocker?
Oh, God. In that case, I'm really off.
What did you say?
I said 1789.
1789?
I thought he's older.
Nope. It's okay, Jack. He's a rock guy. He's a rock music guy.
They didn't even have horns in 1789.
Yes, they did.
Huh? No, they didn't invent horns until like 1912.
You're killing me.
Okay.
1932 is correct. Teacher's got another one.
I would have guessed late 20s.
Okay. The next one was, who's the next one? Pat Boone. No, wait.
No.
Karen Carpenter.
February 1983.
And you guys said
77.
1977. It was February 4th, 1983.
That's amazing.
So it's tied. Gosh. So it's tied at this point. Okay. Now the tiebreaker was, let's see, was that Pat Boone?
No, Pat is still with us, throwing bathtubs.
Yep.
All right. Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller died when?
1944.
Reed nailed it. Rocker?
I went with 43, but...
Ooh! The rocker goes down.
Why are you so enjoyable with that?
I enjoy. This is a first, Neil, isn't it?
We did get him on the next line on in Christmas. But.
Oh, did you? That's that music there.
This song has some particular appeal to me.
It does.
Back in 1965 or so, I was in the marching band. And
what did you play?
Poorly.
Yeah.
I played a trumpet, but he asked me not to make any noise. So back in those days, every band contest, every band played marches. Nothing else, only marches. If you played anything else, you got
zero
points deducted. So we played this song. And the crowd enjoyed it quite a bit, and the judges gave us zeros. Some of them did. Some of them gave us a little bit. But when it gets to kind of toward the end, when it starts getting real jazzy, we all broke out of formation and just started dancing around. You know, like St. Henry Band does. A lot of bands do that now. We did that in 1965.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, so this song has always been one of my favorites.
In the mood.
Yep, in the mood.
Glenn Miller died, if I remember right, it was in World War II, and his plane went down over the
English Channel,
and he was lost.
Yeah. Yep.
Very good.
I was off by a year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you tried to slip in by a Pat Boone on us for crying out loud.
Yeah, I was sure he died. I don't know. Well, guys, I tell you what. Let's touch you one more time. We've got a musical coming up. When?
Lucky Stiff, February 9th, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m.
2 p.m. on February 9th up at the
Elementary Middle School Auditoria.
Very good. And for tickets, you can go online and email the two of you. Talk to any of the members that are in it, and they'll be good to go. Correct?
Yep.
Guys, I really appreciate you coming up.
Well, thanks for having us.
And I wish you luck here in a couple of weeks when February 9th rolls around.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Rocker, you're no longer undefeated. This is the biggest upset since UCLA got beat by Notre Dame back in 1979.
Okay.
Just kidding.
So we going to let Rocker do his top 10 or anything like that?
We have a Rocker rant, but I want to take one more break, and we'll come back with the Rocker and Sports Talk.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
At Cooper Farms, we're building a culture that makes us more than a workplace. We believe that producing quality products, giving back to our communities, and taking care of our team members are all part of our foundation as a company. We want to see our team members succeed, and that's why we pride ourselves on promoting from within the company. We believe giving our team members all the tools necessary to grow with us is what will keep our tradition moving forward. To join the Cooper Farms family and experience a culture like no other, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
The Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring a chili supper on Friday night, January 31st. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with Marion Local. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the Fort Recovery Education Scholarship Fund. Get to the Marion Local game early on January 31st and enjoy the Fort Recovery Education Association chili supper with all the fixins. Serving from 4:30 to 6:30. The Indian swim teams competed in a tri meet with Muncie, Burris, and Delta on Tuesday. The girls team finished first, beating Delta by a score of 67 to 31 and beating Muncie, Burris 53 to 45. The boys team finished third, losing to Burris 71 to 25 and losing to Delta 86 to 81. First place finishes for the girls were Ava Bupp in the 200 freestyle and the 100 fly, Kyra Clark in the 200 individual medley and the 100 backstroke, Shelby Stammen in the 100 breaststroke, the 200 relay team of Audra Bupp, Autumn Burke, Rachel Atchison, and Ava Bupp, and the 400 freestyle relay team of Audra Bupp, Kyra Clark, Ava Bupp, and Shelby Stammen. Good luck the rest of the season to our swim teams. Again, our girls finished first and our boys finished third at a tri meet with Muncie, Burris, and Delta on Tuesday.
We're back with the end of Insight and the start of Sports Talk. We're joined in studio by the voice of the Indian, Mr. Harold Feely.
Hey, Jack. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. You know, Rocker's Rant was sports related, so I thought I would do that.
Rock right into Sports Center.
Yeah.
Or Sports Talk.
Yes.
Perfect.
So, Rocker, your rant is what?
Well, I think the sign stealing thing within itself is probably overblown. Because it's been going on since 1954, and back then, they didn't really do a whole lot about it then. I'm not sure why it's a big deal now, but because if you think about it, on a scale of that compared to the steroids, it's not quite up there yet.
I think so, because they know that's what pitch is coming.
Yeah, but they've been doing it for so long. Why
it's a deal now is because it's technology.
Well,
they can get all of them.
There's bells and whistles back in 54, probably.
So what did they do in 54?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying.
But no, I mean, what was the cheating back in 1954?
Same as this.
If there was a runner on second, he could see what the catcher was doing, and he could touch his knee or touch his ear. But you had to have somebody on second base.
Yeah. But
or somebody way out in the outfield, but nobody could see it from.
That is totally different than this.
Not that much different, but yeah, a little. I mean, like I said, it's technology brought it along.
I mean, to me watching a coach give signals, and if I can find out what his rhythm is on his signals, that okay, when he touches his nose twice and goes to his ear, that's going to be a fastball. That's me being a good coach.
Yeah.
But now sitting out in center field with a freaking camera, I think that's horse crap.
With a headpiece in a player's helmet
and beating trash cans, apparently.
I didn't know anything about speakers in the helmets, but I knew that the one I read was they were tapping on trash cans.
Yeah.
Twice, however many fingers the catcher was doing is what the.
But still, if you think about the difference that this made in a World Series, in people's careers, guys that went into that World Series as a free agent and got shelled, then, I mean,
yeah,
it cost them millions and millions of dollars
on their contract.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But what do you do? I mean, now they're talking about a lawsuit against the league for, you know, taking the 2017 World Series away from the Astros. Is that going to happen?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, but it should.
I mean, if that's the case, the Dodgers and the Yankees would have to file joint lawsuits against them because they both got screwed on that deal.
The Yankees don't deserve any.
You're right. No, they deserve to get screwed every chance that we get. I meant that in a nice way.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, you're right.
So,
the Yankees are like the Patriots. If they lose all of them, I'm happy.
Your boy's going in the Hall of Fame, huh?
Well, yep. That's pretty much a lock, though.
How about one guy didn't vote for it?
One guy said,
somebody's got it. Go ahead. All right. Everybody's looking around going, come on.
Yeah. And two guys didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
So there's all, you know, there's that. There's that old guy.
I didn't think he was that good.
Well, you know, we can't have anybody go in.
Yeah.
To me, I think that's a tired excuse.
Well, yeah. But it's a traditional sort of thing, and I don't love it, but I understand it. Yeah. I don't think I like it, but I do understand it.
Why?
Because that's how it's always been. I'm not sure Babe Ruth was unanimous.
I don't think any of them were.
Whoever that last one, I can't remember who it was now, was the first one ever. So
Mariano Rivera was the last. I mean,
yeah. Was he better than Joe DiMaggio and Babe Ruth?
Well, no, but.
They weren't unanimous. So there's always one guy somewhere that's going to be a traditionalist that says they can't go in unanimous because what if we find out later that there's something in their background that we don't approve of.
But think about it. Who Babe Ruth went in with? Ty Cobb. Well, there's a lot of those guys that he went in with that were just as good as... That's probably why Babe Ruth didn't get unanimous. Help, Ty Cobb was in there. I mean, I think maybe Tris Speaker might have been in that class.
Grover Cleveland Alexander.
I mean, that's a pretty loaded class.
Cy Young.
Pat Boone.
Did you know, Jack, Pat Boone isn't dead?
Yeah, still by kicking.
The way. Still kicking.
And sewing bathtubs.
And sewing bathtubs.
Oh, Corey.
Hey,
man. I'm going to hand this microphone off to you there, big guy.
Okay.
Can we do the intro and outro of Insight, then go to the...
Sorry. That's probably a good idea.
That'd be fantastic.
Door, yep. So. We'll be back with Sports Talk in a minute.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.